Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin.
Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, could you turn to the book of Isaiah? And I'm going to start reading from chapter 6. And it's up there if you haven't, so we know where we're going with this. Okay. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can be together in this house, Lord God, your church, one of your multitudes of churches here. And Father, we thank you that, Lord, as we come around your word now, Father, you'll just touch each heart, Lord. Meet each one of these precious people here today, right where they need to be met, Lord God. Father, that you would make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer to bring you in all your glory through my human vessel, Father God. For Lord, we want you to be glorified, that you'd get all the praise and all the glory. But Lord, I thank you today for a relevant word that's going to speak to every heart in this place because of who you are. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Right, guess what? It's 10 days till Christmas. Who's excited? Who's weary? Who's already on holidays? Yep, a few. That's good. That's awesome. Who's done all their Christmas shopping? I can say yes to that. I love online shopping. It's the best. You can do it wherever you are. It's so good. In your jammers too. That's exactly right. Okay, who's feeling a little stressed? Yeah. It happens, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, this is the time of the year when we're all busy and everyone's running around. Whether you of the Christian faith or not, it's a time where everyone celebrates to one degree or another. It's a time where family is celebrated. It's a time where, you know, we take time out just to be with each other if possible. And but like Dana said, sometimes, you know, Christmas is a really rough time of the year for so many. You know, we may have lost people during the year. We may be struggling with issues, financial, work, illness, you know. Life goes on despite what the season is. But this morning, I wanted to bring you a message from the Word, and I'm not going to speak long this morning, but just because I just really sense that God wants to really enfold and love on people today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances are. And I don't know everyone here, but God does. And so I believe that what I've got to speak this morning, you know, God's going to minister to each heart through that. So Christmas can be a time of great joy, great rejoicing, great love, fun, gifts. But then it can be such a lonely time and we can be unhappy. And because of the joy that we see around us, it can also magnify our feelings of isolation or loneliness or depression or loss or grief, all of those things which are all the human condition. And In other ways, we think, well, what is it all about? You know, I think more than all else that if we don't understand who God is, then we really haven't got a clue of what it's all about. We might have some sort of an inkling of who God is or why Christians celebrate the way we do, but if you haven't yet begun a walk with God, and if you haven't yet received Jesus, the reason for the season, as your Lord and Saviour, things can seem a bit blurry and a bit confusing, and we can just sort of wonder, well, what's it all about? Today, more than ever, I really believe that we need to understand the nature of God and who God is. And the title of my message today is, Who Do We Think God Is? Who is the God that we worship? You know, we worship a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, three in one. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in three forms, but one God. Let's go to our text. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, and the seraphim are only mentioned once in the whole of the Bible, and I don't know why that is, but they were angelic hosts. One had six wings, with two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, it says in one version, or the Lord of hosts in this New King James version that I'm reading. And the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. We've got to know who King Uzziah was, first of all. Who was he? King Uzziah was the king of Judah. He came to power when he was 16 years of age. Can you imagine being king of a country at the age of 16? And then he reigned for 52 years, some say. King Uzziah was a builder. He was a planner. He was a military strategist. He was considered as a good king, and there's lots and lots of bad kings that are talked about in the Bible. He was considered a godly man, that he knew God, he loved God, mostly. And he was a distinguished king. And he made such a difference in the area that he lived in over that time, over those 52 years. So he was a prominent and distinguished man that the people looked up to and saw him as an example of godliness and good choices and good reigning. But his life ended tragically. And believe it or not, Uzziah died of leprosy. You know, after all of the years of serving and all of the years of being on the throne, he became leprous. And, of course, in the Old Testament, we know that people had to be separated off if they were sick from the rest of the community. So he died in an isolated place with other lepers and other sick people. But, you know, it was such a far cry from the life that he'd lived. And so for Isaiah to say that in the year that King Uzziah died, it's a lot for him to say that a great and wise king died, but it's also saying that in the year that he died, he had a tragic, tragic end. So who was Isaiah? Isaiah was best known as the Hebrew prophet who predicted the coming of Jesus 700 years before he actually came. He was born in Bethlehem. And, you know, he didn't find his calling as a prophet until King Uzziah died. And this is a really interesting thing about it. He's believed to have written chapters 1 to 39 in the book of Isaiah. And he's the one who said, Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we sang about Emmanuel this morning, which means God with us. Isaiah had a great reason to be discouraged and disillusioned at the death of King Uzziah, because the great king had passed away, his mentor, the one that stood for something good and great in the land. And Isaiah was devastated by this because his life had ended tragically. And, you know, people that you love, when their life ends tragically, you can't understand why that's happened. You know, that The emotion that we feel at times like that is so magnified and exemplified when it's tragic circumstances. But, you know, Isaiah was saying that this is the year that it happened. But, you know, he looked around and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. The God's now saying to Isaiah, don't worry about it, Isaiah. Uzziah may not be on the throne, but I am. So no matter what your circumstances are, God is on the throne. And in the place where we find desolation and desperation and discouragement, it's often that very place where we see God the way he wants us to see him for the first time. It's often that place where we are at our lowest ebb, where we've come to the end of ourselves and don't know which way to turn, where we come to the end of our tether, so to speak, that we can see, we turn just a half turn and we see the Lord high and lifted up. And the train of his robe fills the temple and all the angels cry out, holy, holy, holy. And what that's saying is that no matter what you're going through, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've walked in, no matter what your concerns are, if you look to God, you see him, he is high and lifted up. That what has been brought low in your life because of circumstances, God wants you to know today that he is still on the throne. He is still in control. He is still Lord of your life. He is still Lord of all when we commit our lives to him. And he's the one who can make that time of grief less painful. He can make that time of discouragement a time of encouragement, because out of every cloud there is a silver lining and we can see what God wants to do through those things, no matter how hard it is and no matter how desperate we may feel. We see the King of Glory. He's not dead. He is alive. He is risen, and that King of Glory is Jesus, and he's revealed through the Word. And he is revealed at this time of the year when we celebrate Christmas, not because of the season of joy and all of those things, but it's the time when Jesus came as a baby in a manger. He was born of the virgin as prophesied by Isaiah. And if King Uzziah hadn't died at that time, Isaiah would not have had a revelation of God. He would not have responded to the call to be a prophet. And he would not have prophesied 700 years before Jesus came that the virgin will be with child and he will be Emmanuel, God with us. Isn't that amazing? You see, out of every trying circumstance, if we turn it over to God, if we give it over to God, we give our lives over to God and say, I don't understand this, it's not fair, I don't know why this is happening. If we give it to God, he can then download to us his peace and his direction and his strategy for moving forward through those trying times and whatever you may be going through. And bring us to a place where we're seeing the Lord high and lifted up, lifted up. When we lift Jesus in our lives, the Word says he will draw all men unto him. Amazing God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But sometimes our ideas of God are not lofty enough for who he really is. Sometimes we make God like a human God, like a God with frailties. Like a God who's imperfect, but he's not. God is perfect. He's all-knowing. He is ever-present. He is all-powerful. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. But we sometimes, because of maybe how we've been brought up or our misunderstanding of who the God of the Word is, maybe we see him sometimes as God who wants to hit us on the head because we've been bad. Maybe we see him as a God who doesn't really understand us or get us. Maybe we think that because we are not perfect that God can't love us completely, and yet he does. How do we see God? How do we see our Abba, which is the Hebrew word for Father? How do we see him today? See, we base our opinions on how we have lived our life, on how our life has unfolded for us, maybe on how we've been parented, maybe on, you know, maybe you've had an amazing life, maybe you've had joy completely throughout all of your life. And if you have, that's amazing, and that's the blessing of God. But you know what? Whether you have had joy in your life or not, the blessing of God wants to be upon your life. God wants you to come to Him in a new way today. God wants to love on you completely, because no matter what you do, no matter how far away you are from Him, He is as close as one word, and that word is Jesus. And His desire for you is so complete, because He loves you so totally. You can't do one thing more or one thing less to make Him love you any more than He loves you right now. He's a wonderful God. He's a wonderful God. A.W. Tozer, the great theologian, once said, "The church has surrendered her once lofty concept of God and has substituted it for one so low, so ignoble, as to be utterly unworthy of thinking, worshipping men and women. This she has done not deliberately, but little by little and without knowledge. And her very unawareness only makes her situation all the more tragic." And he then went on to point out that a low view or opinion or understanding of God is the underlying cause of many of the problems that we have and many of the problems that are in the world today. You see, when we lose our sense of God's reality and His majesty, then hundreds of problems can start to arise in our lives. We lose the understanding of the significance of our worship for Him, of committing our lives to Him, of being fully committed to Him. And sometimes we see Him as being the lofty God, high and lifted up, but we don't understand that He is actually with us. That's why His name is Emmanuel, God with us. You know, he's a breath away, one breath. Jesus, so amazing. The world that we're living in today points to everything but Jesus. Every philosophy, humanism. There's many roads leading to God, and you know, let's all do our own thing, because at the end of the day, it's not going to affect anyone else. Well, you know what? There's one way to God. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ, His Son, the Lord. And as I said, we call out to Him. He is one breath away from us. We know that our Redeemer lives. So in the year that all my hopes and expectations came crashing down, I saw the Lord. That's a paraphrased version of what Isaiah is saying. In the year that's just been, when I was at my lowest, and we could all say, put our own explanation in it, in the year that's just been, when it's been rubbish, in the year that's just been, when I've lost my best friend, when I've lost my job, when I've lost my finances, in the year that has just been, that has been one I don't want to repeat again, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. In the midst of great trial, Isaiah had this huge revelation of who God was, and all of a sudden his worst day became his best day. And from that moment, he became the prophet Isaiah, because he picked up the mantle and responded to the call that God had on his life to be a prophet to the nation. In the worst day ever, he turned and saw who God was in his majesty. How amazing would that be? And I can so relate to this, because at a time in my life when I was about to commit suicide, it was a long time ago, wasn't it? All our children, well, Kimberly is our eldest and she's 33 and she was 5 at the time, so it was 28 years ago. We had 3 children. We still have 3 children, actually. I'd been diagnosed with kidney disease. I had been diagnosed with depression, severe depression. I was at a place of not wanting to live anymore. I decided that I was going to take all my pills that night when I went to bed. Once all the children were in bed and Vic was feeling pretty happy because of the amount of beer he'd drunk on that day, I felt like I had nothing to give. I felt like my family would be better off without me. I felt like my husband would be less burdened if I wasn't there. In my worst day, these were the decisions I was making. You see, I was so low, cast so low, so deceived, so sick, so knocked around, so unclear in my thinking that I believed all of those things were true. And yet God, in His mercy, on what would have been the worst day of my life, it was a Saturday. Vic was an avid gambler. He was a horse racing fanatic, weren't you, dear? Every Saturday morning or Friday night, he would go into the town we lived in at the time. It was Berry. We were Riverlanders. He would put money in his TAB account. He would go to the pub. The children knew two places in Berry. One was the betting shop and one was the stubby shop. They called it the stubby shop because Vic would go in and buy his beer. And I'm afraid Vic comes off as the villain in all of this, but it's not really the case. Vic was sitting at the table on this Saturday afternoon. The Friday before, the day before we'd gone into town, we'd put the money in the account, we'd got the beer. Vic had got what he called his Bible at that time, and for those of you who understand horse races, it was Best Bets. It was a publication called Best Bets. We went to the library because I'd been on a little bit of a search and I'd ordered a book on reincarnation because I was looking into that as well. And guess what? It wasn't there. It hadn't arrived. So I went to the religion section in the library and I found a book by an Anglican minister called Belief. I thought, oh, that'll do, something to look at. Came home, Saturday came, Vic was listening to the races, the children were asleep. I pulled this book out. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to have a look at this because tonight when I go to sleep, I'm going to take all those pills and I'm not going to wake up again and everyone's going to be better. I sat in my lounge room and opened this book and in the middle of the book were four pictures. The first picture had a picture of Buddha or an image of Buddha. And it said, Buddha died looking for the way. The next one said, Muhammad died looking for the way. The third one, the Vegas died looking for the way. Yeah, righto. And the last one, picture of Jesus and the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I looked at it and I said, yes, yes. I got on my knees on the floor in that purple carpeted, gold foiled, wallpapered lounge room and a block house at Winky. I got on my knees and all of a sudden it became the holiest place ever. And I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And I realized in that instant that Jesus was the way, that Jesus was the truth, Jesus was the life. And I reached out to God in that time and I said, God, if you are real, I didn't even have that faith to understand that He was real. And if you are there, take my life. I'm nothing to my husband. I'm nothing to my kids. They'd be better off without me. But if you can do something with this person, I'm all yours. That was how I saw the Lord high and lifted up, because in that instant I could see so clearly that God had been after me, that God had been calling me, that God was real, that Jesus had died for me. The Holy Spirit came in that place, touched my heart. I ran down the passage to the kitchen. Vic was listening to races. I ran up to him and I said, "Guess what's just happened to me?" And he said, "Shut up, I'm listening to a race." And I walked over to the kitchen sink and I looked out the window, and there was a cottonwood tree on the front lawn, and it was green, and it was the greenest green I'd ever seen. And I looked at the sky and it was the bluest blue I had ever seen, and it was like God had moved scales from my eyes. And for the first time in my life, I knew there was a God. I knew He was real. I knew He had a purpose and a plan for my life, and I knew that life was never going to be the same again. And I heard a voice in my head say, "Your life will never be the same again. Do you want that?" And I said, "Yes, I'm rubbish. But if you can take me and use me, I'm all yours." And you know what? Life has never been the same again. Life has never been the same again, because when you see the Lord through your circumstances, through your pain, through your tragedy, high and lifted up, He touches your heart. He takes hold of your life. He takes hold of your hand. And He leads you, and He purposes to direct you and show you His way, because He knows you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. He knows the plans He has for you. Amazing plans for every one of you. But it's in seeing Him high and lifted up. That makes all the difference to us. So whenever you're having a really rough day, just turn and say, "Lord, I need to see you." Whenever you're feeling so far away from Him, just turn spiritually. Sometimes you actually physically take yourself to a place of quietness. Sometimes it's the bathroom. Sometimes it's driving in your car. "Lord, I'm having a rubbish day. I need to see you." And you just touch your heart. This Christmas season that we're coming to, it's a time like no other for those of us who believe. And God wants to minister to every single one of us and through every single one of us, so that when we're going through really hard times, and when we're with people who are going through really hard times, we can reach out in God's love and minister to each and every one of them. You see, He's our anchor. He stabilizes us when the seas are stormy. He's the one who holds us and comforts us when we feel so alone and so desperate. He's the one who can turn a tragedy into a triumph. He is the God of all creation. And I just wonder, who do you think God is today? Do you know Him? Do you really know Him? Do you know His Son? And have you met Him by His Spirit? This season, let's purpose in our hearts to see the Lord high and lifted up. And let's purpose in our hearts to be bearers of whoever He is in us, to shine through us and to give hope wherever we might be. And I'm running out of time. This always happens to me. You see, Jesus is the bridge, the mediator between God and man. And Jesus is the reason we celebrate, not just at Christmas, but every day of the year, because of the life that He gives us. If you don't know Jesus, this Jesus that we've sung about this morning, we've spoken about, that we've seen in the Word, if you don't know Jesus this morning, today is the best day ever just to quietly open your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you. Lord Jesus, I want to see you high and lifted up. Lord Jesus, take my life, because your life will never be the same again. Do you know God healed me of my depression? That depression that had taken me to such a low, low place that I wanted to die. That Saturday afternoon in July 1991, he healed me of that depression. God's able to heal you today too. I'm going to finish now, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today that you are a great and a mighty and an awesome God. And Lord, you are high and lifted up and you are majestic. You are just so above everything. Lord, you speak your word and you create with your word. Father, I thank you that not only are you so high and lifted up, but Father, you are right here with us too. You're as close away to each one of us as a breath, as a word. And as we call out to you now, Jesus, we ask that you'd come now and minister to every heart by your Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.